Let me welcome everybody back from our summer break. This week we have Parshas Kisese, and we've missed really all of the Parshios of Devarim this year. Devarim, Vo'eschanan, Ekev, Re'eh, Shoftim, and now we're up to Kisese. I'm not going to make an attempt to recap. We're also finishing up our cycle of the Mesilas Yesharim, which we have been studying all year, and at this time we should be getting to one of the last virtues, Mida of Anava, of humility, and we really should be discussing that, which we may touch upon, but not more than that. What really I wanted to surprise you with today is something that was inspired by one of the trips we took on our vacation. Our first bar mitzvah was in Cincinnati, Ohio. And on the way there, we traveled through Kentucky. And we were looking on a map, and we found a very, very nice area on the way called Natural Bridge. Natural Bridge, Kentucky. There are some breathtaking views. If you get up in the mountains, and you there's one place where you actually take a sky lift, and you're on top of this stone natural stone formation, which is a bridge, and you're walking out on the ledge, and there's nothing, there's no railing on the sides.
What?
And on either side, it drops, I don't know how many feet, you know, there's this gorge on the bottom, and it's gorgeous.
Gorgeous.
which is, I assume, where gorgeous comes from a view that you get when you overlook a gorge. I assume.
Yeah, and when you lose your balance, then that's it.
But anyways, when you're up so high and you're looking down, I've never been to out west, you know, I've never seen the Grand Canyon or anything like that. But when you're so high up and you're looking over, you get such a panoramic view, and you see a view of the world, the beauty that you don't see when you're down below. Like the expression goes, you lose the forest for the trees. Because you're just looking at a tree, you don't realize it's part of a big forest. So that has inspired me to think about the bird's eye view of the Torah. And it led me to something fascinating, which I'm still taking it all in, that I want to share with you today. The theme of this presentation is called the cycles. We, as Jewish people, are so blessed because we're actually part of a bigger picture. I don't think every human being can say that. We are part of a dynamic, moving organism, a cycle. We are in the middle of an unfolding event, which is happening before our eyes. And we are part of a cycle. And we're a part of multiple cycles. What I'd like to present to you is three cycles that we are continuously part of. And I'd like to analyze the way that we do sometimes these cycles and show that there's really a commonality. We're going to compare these cycles. All right? By these cycles, I mean the following. There is the Chumash cycle. If you open up the Chumash at the beginning, and you begin with Bereishis, the creation, and you go to the end of the Chumash, we have spanned 2,488 years. The first 2,488 years of history by Judaism. And the Torah takes us from point A to point B. And we are constantly recycling that period of time. Okay? So that's the first cycle. The second cycle contains the first cycle, but it's even broader. And that is the 6,000 years of the world as we know it. And this is an oral tradition that God created the world at the beginning, and by the year 6000, all of history that needs to play itself out will have done so, and by the end of 6000 years, things are going to stop at the latest. The way that we know it, there will be a messianic age, and then things will be different. So that is another cycle, which really, you could say, is the Tanakh cycle, because the Chumash goes on into the prophets, and the prophets tell us about the end of time. So really, there's a larger cycle, and that is a 6,000-year cycle. And then there's another cycle that we are constantly part of. Guess which cycle I'm referring to? The Daf Yomi cycle. Yeah, that's a good one. That one could compare that one too. What's the other cycle I'm referring to?
The weekly cycle.
Okay. All right. I wasn't thinking that micro step wise, but the annual cycle, the holidays, the Jewish calendar cycle. Okay. Now, that's interesting because there's two ways to count it. You could start it at Rosh Hashanah, which is the first day of Tishrei, where God created the world, and go till the next Rosh Hashanah, which is how we count our years, celebrate New Year. But in the Chumash, the actual calendar cycle starts at the beginning of Nisan, and that's called the first month, and goes all the way until Adar, which is called the 12th month. And Moshe Rabbeinu passes away in Adar. So there's really two different cycles staggered by 6 months. So what I'd like to do for this presentation is to look at the Chumash cycle, which starts with Nisan. So put your seatbelts on. We're going up on a skylift, and we are going to observe three cycles that we are part of. The cycle of the Chumash, the cycle of the entire span of history, 6,000 years, and then the annual cycle, the calendar, starting with Nisan. And let's see if there is something common in all of these cycles. Okay? So, starting with the cycle of the Chumash, the world was created. The first book it's called the Book of Creation, of Genesis, Sefer Yetzirah. What is created? What is created is the forefathers. Ultimately, what's created is the trunk and the first few branches of the Jewish people. You know, the early years, there was a selection, finding who would be that one, that kernel, allowing that Avraham to emerge and produce Yitzchak and Yaakov branching out to the 12 tribes. And by the end of the Bereishis, we have our Jewish people in root form. The next stage, that now that we've identified and selected this group, they go into Mitzrayim, they sprout, they grow, they expand. But then there is also a turbulent period, and they are further selected and separated. Right? The famous Midrash that we've mentioned many times, of all the people that were in Mitzrayim, only 1/5 left and became the 600,000 that stood at Mount Sinai. So it's still more of a distillation. When we left Mitzrayim, I know we're not going through all the details because we're way up there. We don't see every single tree now in this presentation. We're looking at the big picture. In the next stage, Hashem is revealing himself to us, to this group at Mount Sinai, and we have the clearest understanding and perception of his being. Shortly following that, we go from the mountaintop, we plummet with the sin of the golden calf. It's almost all over. And yet it's not all over. Moshe Rabbeinu is our advocate, and he works out a reconciliation, and in several months' time, Hashem says, you know what? I'll take you back. I forgive you. And not only that, but I want you to build a tabernacle where we will be close together, and I will still reveal my presence to you. And after that, things were bright again. There was once again a falling out, because God wanted to take us right into Eretz Yisrael. Probably, I'll bet you, and at that time, we would have probably had the Beis HaMikdash right away. But there was a falling out because of the sin of the spies. And our plans to go into the land and continue and have the temple were put on hold for 40 years. And there we were. The generation of the Exodus were not going to make it in. The next generation was being prepared. And Moshe Rabbeinu spoke to them. Sefer Devarim. He addresses them and he says, guys, all is not lost. We are, you are, going to forge ahead. Let me give you the teachings. Let me give you the guidance that's going to accompany you. And if you follow this, you will once again reach the promised land. You will rebuild the temple. And you will be once again close with God. And that's the end. That's the end of the Chumash cycle. So what do we have? We have identification, preparation, revelation from God, falling, picking us up, falling again, this time for a longer, extended period of time, but nevertheless, hope for the future, promise, and guidance how to move forward, even in the darker period. Let's see if that same pattern is not the pattern of the larger cycle, because I think it is. If we will start talking about the 6,000 years, let's pick up where we left off, you know, when the Torah closes.
Pick up now. What's going to happen in Israel and what's going to be future?
I also, one disclaimer, I can't predict the future, but I can predict the general future, because that's not a prediction. It's right in our Torah. But what happens is we go into Israel. There seems to be a longer preparation period. We get our first temple. Wonderful, tremendous revelation. Miracles, 10 miracles a day. After a certain period of time, we fall. We fall terribly. We're out in Babylon. We're exiled. We fall to great sins of idolatry, the worst. We're out there. It's only temporary, 70 years. We're brought back. The second temple is rebuilt. We're reinstated. Maybe not quite as glamorous, but we're reinstated. But then we fall again. We lose our second temple, and then we're out for a long time. But not forever. We're out for a long haul, for a long exile. But we have our Torah, we have our sages, we have our Talmud, we have our oral law, which gets built up again. And throughout all these years, we have flourished, and we have continued, and we have been sustained because of the words of our Torah, the words of our faith. And there is promise for the future. There is a redemption that comes at the end of all this. Same pattern. And let's take a look at our third cycle. Pesach. Now, some of this overlaps with the Chumash, but let's talk a little bit more experientially, because we're talking about Jewish people living, going through their lives in sync with the Jewish calendar. So let's think about how the holidays speak to us. We start Nisan, the beginning of the new year, the new holiday, the new holiday cycle really starts 2 weeks early. It really starts a month early with Purim, but there's that preparation time. Pesach commemorates that exile and that first redemption. And then Shavuos is that revelation, Matan Torah. We're reliving Matan Torah. What happens only a few weeks after Shavuos? The 3 weeks of mourning for the Second Temple. We're in the middle of the summer. Everyone's thinking about vacationing, but a lot is happening spiritually. We've just experienced Shavuos, and then we are commemorating 17th of Tammuz is the day that the tablets were broken. And we lost our Torah. 3 weeks. 3 weeks of mourning. What happens after that? Hashem says, I'll take you back. We have the month of Elul. Anila Dodi V'Dodi Li. I am to my beloved. My beloved is to me. Come on back. We're going to pick up again. We get closer and closer. Rosh Hashanah, I'll forgive you. Yom Kippur, I'll forgive you. Sukkot is like a tabernacle. We're so close to God. We've just come back. That is our, like in the Chumash, God said you could rebuild, you could build a tabernacle even though you've fallen to the golden calf. We've had the second temple even though we lost the first temple. We can come back. And in our experiential living of the Jewish calendar, even though we've gone through the 3 weeks of mourning, we can come back, and now we're living with Hashem in the Sukkah. But then, Sukkot is beautiful, even better, Simchas Torah, Shmini Atzeres, Simchas Torah, literally the pinnacle. And then Hashem says, bye-bye. I've got to leave you now. You're on your own. 6 months without holidays. There's your long period again. Just like the Jewish people had 40 long years in the desert. Just like the Jewish people were sent into exile after the Second Temple for a long time. We are now, our Jewish calendar has now sends us off into the dark 6 months without holidays. And yet, we have what to do. We have our Torah. We just begin now reading the Torah. Interesting. This is how these two cycles dovetail. Just when the calendar cycle has dried up, we begin the Torah cycle. And more than that, our sages come along and say, even when during the dark period, there's a lot to look forward to. There's redemption ahead. Look at the two holidays that the rabbis instituted during the 6 months hiatus of Torah holidays. Hanukkah and Purim. When did those take place? During the exile. Hanukkah took place during the Greek exile, when we were in Israel, but the Greeks were on top of us. And Hashem protected us and wrought miracles for us. And Purim took place in Persia, in Babylon. So even our rabbinic holidays tell us that even in this dark period, stay steadfast in your faith, continue to study the Torah, because there is redemption ahead.
Where's the 6 months story? When?
From Sukkot until Pesach, there are no Torah holidays.
Oh, so it hadn't started yet.
Do you see? Is this a pattern? Is this a pattern or what? This is the bird's eye view. The pattern of Jewish life, of living with God, of everything, of world history. There is. What are the components? The components are getting prepared, identifying, getting to the point where we are ready for God to reveal himself. The selection process that goes with that, not everybody's gonna take that path. There is a revelation. There is a pretty shortly thereafter, there is a falling. There is a return by God. God returns us with his great mercy and love, reinstating the glory. Another fall, and then a long period of darkness, but with a flashlight to lead the way and to show the light at the end of the tunnel. That is the cycle in which we live. And I would like to make the following observation. These falls that we experience, they are of two types. Either we fall because we just can't see, because God removes his presence, and therefore we can't see anymore. It's dark. And we make mistakes, and we go places that we shouldn't go just because we don't know any better. That's one kind of a fall. That's the kind of a fall that occurs when God says, you're on your own. Here's the Torah, but it's up to you to look it up. It's up to you to glean what it says there and how to guide you. But otherwise, it's going to be hard to navigate. And there are also falls when we say, I'm not so comfortable with this revelation. It cramps my style. I'd like to be a little freer. We discussed this a lot when we talked about the Hechrach, that the God imposes this, you know, this mountain on our heads, and we get uncomfortable. We say we'd like to be a little more free, a little more natural, not so miraculous. Those are two different ways that we fall. We fall because we don't know any better, and we fall because we're not so comfortable. These correspond with the two type of sins for which we repent on the high holidays. We talk about the averos, the sins, the transgressions that we do b'shogeg, unknowingly. Shogeg is defined as something, a transgression that a person does because he doesn't know better. And there are those transgressions which we do b'mezid, with intent. We know what is expected of us, but we just aren't so comfortable. We want to do it our way. And these are the two kinds of falls that we make in this cycle. And either one is part of the fabric of the cycle. They're both built in. And Hashem tells us again and again, I don't care how you fall, I don't care why you fall, I will help you get up. I will bring you back to your earlier glory. And even when there's a long period, when I don't do that, I'm giving you the flashlight. You're on your own, but I want you to use this flashlight and find the way back. And this is life. God wants us to come back. He wants us to come back to search for him and to find him. And this is all part of the cycle that we're in. I think that the message here that we have in front of us is, number one, blessed is God for having made us members of his people, of the Jewish people. We should make a bracha every day. Shalom asani goy. God did not make us like the nations of the world that are not part of this cycle. We are part of this cycle. We can't fall out of it. That is something to be very, very grateful for. But we should say, if we are a part of this cycle that goes on around us, we're part of it too. And every person is like a world, as our sages say. And therefore, we also have a cycle. And we have a cycle, an annual cycle. We try to ride the waves of these holidays and glean from them what we can. We also have our lifetime cycle. And if this is the way cycles go, if this is the cycle of God, then we should use that as a roadmap for our own cycles. And look at our lives. And look at the moments of revelation, the moments of falling, the moments of divine love that brings us back, and even the moments of great long periods of darkness, but with the flashlight, with the invitation to come look at our Torah and our that which will lead us back, because there is a bright redemption ahead. Let us go on top of that that mountain and look over and see the bird's eye view of what God has created here and what we are part of, and let it provide guidance to our lives as we once again face a new year, our annual life, and to our lives in totality. And so, with God's help, we will truly rejoice and be part of that real cycle that carries us throughout our existence. Thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to torahmediaatlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.